This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show, along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. And in case you don't know, the show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wvuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the MyTuner radio app and just type in WVUA FM 90.7. Also, we only have a few more shows left for this semester because we don't do our shows in the summer, but then we'll be back in the fall. And I'm always needing show topic ideas. So if you have any ideas for upcoming shows, email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu, and I'll consider using your show topic. I'll try to remember to give that email out during every break or when we come back, if Catherine will help me do that. I always forget. But it's Brain Matters Radio at wvuafm.ua.edu. Tonight's show topic is an interesting show topic. I don't think we've had one about that we've specifically talked about the ego. And tonight, The Fight Inside, Winning the Battle Between Your Ego and True Spirit, is a book authored by my guest. Think of the mind as our operating system, and we have two programs, fear, which is the ego, and love, which is the spirit. It's the amount of power and influence coming from either the ego or the spirit that will determine the lens through which we see the world, a perspective of the world as half empty or half full. This is an excerpt from my guest's website in a section entitled "Your Ego Is Not Your Amigo." I love that title because it's true. My guest tonight is joining us from the Pacific Coast, Lynette Eddy, and I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correct, Lynette. In addition to being a social worker, master in social work, Lynette is an author, social activist, and the founder of the Eddy House, which is a nonprofit that focuses on helping homeless and at-risk teens. She's recipient of several national, state, and community awards for her achievements in social work. And like I mentioned, her book, The Fight Inside, it's her first book. And I'm just tickled to have you here. Thank you so much, Lynette, for being on the show. Did I pronounce your last name correct?
Yes, you did. And okay. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, that excerpt that I took from your website, I read as much as I could. It's a great website. And when it was in the, I believe it was in the section about you, I can't remember what section it was in, but that last excerpt really caught my attention because it explained, really the difference between the ego and the spirit, which is in the title of your book. How'd you come up with the title?
Well, it's a long story, how I got into this. And I can start from the beginning, if you don't mind.
Sure. Tell the readers a little more about yourself and why you're interested in this topic.
Okay. It was in 2010. And unfortunately, my husband died. He took his life. He died by suicide. And we had been married 34 years. And at the time, I was just finishing up my master's degree in social work. And over the years, I watched him go from living an authentic life. He was compassionate. He was loving. He enjoyed simple things in life. And I watched him transform in the later years to someone who had to, go out and buy the fancy cars. He started making a lot of money, never had enough, and then he started gambling. And then I found out there were girlfriends, and he turned into someone I just did not recognize. Mm-hmm. And when he passed, he left a note and it said, I can no longer live with myself any longer. And at that time, I had just, I was reading this book, Power of Now, from Eckhart Tolle. And he said he had experienced a similar feeling when he was about to end his life. He said, I can, he said the exact same words, I can no longer live with myself. And then he thought, well, if there's an I in a myself, there must be two of me, like which one's real and which one's false.
Yes.
And he came to the conclusion that the I was his true spirit and his myself was his ego. That's how he defined it. And I was, that's when I started the journey on trying to understand what the two dynamics are and how they work in our human psyche and in it, the nature of the ego, how destructive it is, and, you know, the power of our spirit. And if we can recognize the self-destructive nature of the ego, we can manage it. And this is basically our thoughts. And, you know, the way I think of it is our inner critic versus our inner coach. And a lot of us go down this rabbit hole of, you know, the self-destructive thoughts and thought patterns that our egos pull us into. And I identify those in the book. And, you know, I describe, you know, the definition of the ego, how it's come from, you know, Freud's definition of mommy issues, that kind of thing, but that's outdated. And, you know, it's now with mindfulness, it's, you know, it's, yeah, it's just, I feel like it's the most important thing any of us can do. If we can sit back, witness our thoughts, and rather than have our thoughts just drag us around, have more control over our thoughts and not be pulled into these egoic negative patterns.
Yes. And that's the one thing you said. That's one of the things you said on your, you know, on your website, when it talks about, there's different headings on Lynette's website. The first one is about Lynette, basically. And you've got several paragraphs there just about yourself, talking about yourself. And that's one of the things you said. And I know you've told it, Lynette, I know you've told this story a million times. I know you have. But when you tell it every time, is there a time where it something is different in the way that you tell it, or you have some kind of epiphany sometimes when you do tell it? Does it seem new, or do you ever get tired of talking about it?
You know, I don't, because I feel my message can help people. You know, we're all basically the same, and we all deal with this inner struggle. You know, no matter who you are, even if you're the Dalai Lama or whoever, yeah. You know, we deal with this inner critic. And I know from my personal experience, when I was, you know, hit with this traumatic situation, I was stripped down to my core. And that's when I really could feel my spirit coming out. And I had a choice to be a victim, which is an egoic, you know, pull,
yeah,
or just get into my spirit and understand that, you know, the spirit is, if that's where it's at, if you can stay strong there, nothing in the outside world can hurt you. And I know that sounds simplistic, but it's true.
Yeah, but if you can help people, I don't know, when they're, maybe this is getting too personal, but after your husband passed away and you were grief stricken, you can relate. I'm assuming you can relate to other people who have been in that position, just like you were. How soon after you talk to maybe even a client, not necessarily a personal friend or somebody you know personally, but how soon do you start talking to them about the ego and spirit? Do you feel like they're receptive to it?
Well, it was interesting how this all worked out, because I went back and finished my degree. Like I said, I was at the very last year of, you know,
your graduate master's. Yeah.
Right. And so I went back to school, And everyone was like, well, he must have been mentally ill or something, you know, serious depression, bipolar, what happened?
Yeah.
And, you know, I went through they call it the DSM. It's the, you know, the
Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. Yes.
Right. And I went through and I could see all the criteria for each, you know, serious depression.
Everything. Yeah.
I'm like, no. That's just not him. He didn't have all these signs. And I just knew he had just given up his spirit and he just started living an egoic life. Yeah. I mean, and at one point I said to him, I'm like, who are you? Do you own the mask or does the mask own you? And I know that sounds a little trippy, but it was like he was living his false self. Like, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And he knew what I meant. And, you know, unfortunately, he was just too far into his ego.
Did he even converse with you on this when you asked him that?
Yeah. And in fact, I had found a piece. It was from it was centuries old prophet or whatever that had this thing about what they call a true man. And it was just this simple verse. And it talked about, you know, just staying true to yourself. You don't need recognition. You know, you can be in the earth, be a human without, you know, just being simple and just being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it to him. I copied it and I gave it to him. And he just kind of scoffed at it. But when he passed in his briefcase, he only had a letter to me and he had that copy.
Wow. He had that.
And this was 2 years after I gave it to him. So I knew he knew, but he was just so deep.
Yes. Do you think there's any way when someone, have you seen other people have, and I don't know if you do clinical practice, but have you seen people throughout your career now who remind you of him that you can pick out that their ego has taken over basically? And what do you do? You know, what do you do about that?
Well, the way this is where I came up with this open heart mindfulness in it's similar to like CBT or ACT, you know, these are cognitive behavioral therapies. And what they do is they focus on the thoughts, you know, our thought patterns. But open heart mindfulness goes deeper into what witnesses the thoughts, the spirit. And so mine gets into more about the witness of the thoughts. So you're sitting back objectively looking at your thoughts and you're trying to figure out, you're understanding where these patterns are coming from. And to really understand that, you have to know the traps of the ego, which I can break that down. It's like that not enough, you know, that whole trap.
Yes.
Never enough.
Negative.
Right. And you won't have enough. You're not pretty enough, all that. And then comparison, that's a huge one, huge trap. And then beliefs versus truth, that's a huge one. And but the big one is the trauma that we all have buried inside deep. And, you know, everyone has something, you know, I mean, Ram Dass said, go spend a weekend with your family. If you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend with your family. You know, we all have stuff.
Yes.
But to understand the triggers that we have or what the effects that stuff has on us, we have, you know, and how it controls our mind in some ways, you know, influences our thoughts. So part of open heart mindfulness is, you know, you have to go and dig, you know, understand those deep wounds we all have and clean out those wounds, but you have to face them.
Hold that thought, Lynette. When we come back, I want you to continue talking about the traps, but in particular, I want you to talk more about comparing yourself to other people or just comparisons, because I see that with a lot of students, and I bet Catherine does too. They talk about it a lot, or they don't recognize it, and I have to point it out. You know, are you comparing yourself to other people? And they're like, yes, they admit, you know. So hold that thought and let's pick up where we left off after this break. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. We're talking tonight about the ego versus the spirit. And my guest has written a wonderful book called The Fight. Now I've just gone blank. It's called The Fight Within Yourself, I believe. Basically, the ego versus the spirit, or your ego and your spirit. And Lynette Eddy is my guest. She's a social worker. And Lynette, what were you doing before you got your master's degree in social work? Did you have another career?
Well, I was basically doing social work in different ways. I was working in hospice for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about what we were talking about when we left off, the traps of the ego? And one of those you listed is comparison. And like I mentioned before the break, my students, a lot of the students I see say that they compare themselves to other peers, you know, and that's really at the core a lot of times is of what's making them unhappy sometimes. So what do you say to that when you identify that, or somebody is insightful and identifies it themselves?
Well, I think we all have to recognize the influence our culture has on us, you know, our consumer materialist culture, where we're getting bombarded with, if you buy this, you'll be this, or,
yes.
You know, and then.
And then social media too.
Right. Social media is huge. And, you know, I work with a lot of with homeless youth, and, you know, that feeling that and I tell them, like, when they're on social media and they see the, you know, everyone's so happy, and, you know, then they get the FOMO, like, you know, fear of missing out, like,
yes.
Oh, they have everything. I have nothing. Why are they happy and I'm not? And then you just go down this whole egoic thought pattern that you're just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the reality is, you know, you are good enough just the way you are, and stop comparing yourself. You know, it's just egoic thoughts, you know, like I say, the way our culture is, that, you know, we're always told to, you know, buy this, buy that, or, you know, the body image, you know, and that's huge, especially with the young women today. It's really bad. And you're just always feeling like, you know, you have to look like that person to be happy and all that. But, like, you know, like I tell the kids on social media, like, these people on social media, I mean, you don't show your bad day.
No.
You don't show the day you're sobbing on the, you know,
yes.
fetal position.
That's
on
right,
the
with
floor.
No makeup on or anything. Yeah.
Oh. You know, and everyone's living this life, this image that they like to portray, which is not their real self.
No. And you mentioned just a minute ago the term faulty self. So would it be beneficial to, I think it would be beneficial to educate clients on the faulty self, you know, and what that means, the definition, and also the definition of the ego. And how that plays into what you're talking about, falling into a trap, being, you know, comparing yourself, you know, beliefs versus truth, some other traps. Like, I think it would help to sit sit in a session and take a whole session to actually educate. I don't know if I've ever done that, to be honest with you. I mean, it feels like a psychology class when you're doing that, right?
Yeah, but it's so important.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had young people ask me, like, you know, because I'm older, and it's like, what would you say how to live a good life? And, you know, I used to say, like, all the right things, like, you know, get a good job, make money, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm like, whoa, you know, learn to manage your mind, because your thoughts, those predict your choices.
Yes.
And your actions and the way your life's going to go. And if your mind is full of egoic thoughts, you know, just dragging you around, like, you know, always trying to pursue things that aren't really what you want.
Right.
You know, and it's so easy to get in that trap. But if you just say, hey, hold up here, and you just start recognizing those patterns that you're having, the ones that make you feel depressed or whatever, the triggers, and you just start managing your mind, and then understanding that deep presence of your true spirit, your true self, and blaze that one, you know, like, and then when you come across choices, you'd be like, okay, is that coming from my ego or my spirit? You know, like, what is serving me well? Are these thoughts serving me well? You know, and if they're not, let them go. And yeah.
I think just talking about, you know, a lot of times kids will come in and they just want a quick fix. I know Catherine sees that too. We're considered a brief counseling center. So our university allows basically 15 sessions or less for the entire school year. So that's not very many sessions to deal with some of the bigger issues. And sometimes on those issues, we'll make a referral out to the community. But if we have students who come in and they're experiencing mild depression or anxiety or stress management issues, et cetera, you know, of course, we're going to talk to them about better ways to think about things, et cetera. But it's so hard sometimes because their patients, they don't have the patience. They want a quick fix. And to get them to buy into the ego versus their true spirit, I think that might do it. If I could just, you know, in that first session be like, okay, this is what it sounds like is happening. What do you think? Here's your options. You know, here's something that may be going on. I don't know if some of them realize it, you know, have the insight, because their brains are still developing.
Right. And it is easier to go after those quick fix, you know, the sugar coated pleasures, yeah, in life, you know, the things that make you instantly happy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's why we have a lot of addiction problems and that kind of thing. But it's, you know, it's like the true joy, the true lasting happiness that comes from your spirit. You'll never get that from your ego. No. You know, that ego thing telling you to buy this or have this, or, you know, if you accomplish this or whatever. And it's just like, you know, it might be fun for a while, but then it kind of wears off and then you need to buy a bigger one, or, you know, it's just never enough. But
can you remember the time or the moment that your husband changed? Can you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it. You know, he was a financial advisor. You know, they used to call it stockbrokers back in the day. But, you know, and then when he started making a lot of money, and then, you know, he got pulled into, like, just more, he had to have more, he had to buy the, you know, the big car and
material, you know, things.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then he, you know, his status and people were like, oh, you know, he's all rich and he's all, he just started finding his self-importance in material things, that kind of thing. When I first met him, he was a philosophy major and, you know, we were kind of like hippies back then, you know, and, you know, it was like, he just fell into the traps.
Do you think he just couldn't go back to how he was?
I know he was suffering, obviously, at the very end, but You know, I think he was in so deep and he just lost. It's almost like, I picture it like, you know, the ego comes over like these clouds that covers up our spirit. We all have our spirit, but sometimes it just gets buried by just, you know, all these negative egoic patterns that show up. And, you know, and then we just lose our spirit. Like they say, once you lose your spirit, you're cooked, you're done. You know,
how long did it take you to write the book?
It took me about 4 years, almost five. Yeah.
And the book is called The Fight Inside, Winning the Battle Between Your Ego and Your True Spirit.
Yeah. And in the book, I give practical ways to get back in touch with your spirit and, you know, practical ways to recognize the ego when it shows up. And how to, you know, it's not a one and done. You've got to practice this daily. I do, you know, it's like you just you just have to pay attention to your thoughts.
That's it. It has to be intentional.
Yeah. You have to pay attention to what, you know, your thoughts and also your lifestyle and, you know, who are you hanging out with? You know, like I tell the kids, you have to weed your friend garden sometimes.
Yes, definitely. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Like you have to look at the way your lifestyle is, who you're hanging out with, you know, what are the things you're doing, you know, and try to find that passion, the thing that stokes you out, and follow that. That's the true thing that you should follow. And I know in college it's hard because you're in a, you know, academic setting and you have these goals in your major. But sometimes, you know, I've had students where, because I teach at UNR sometimes, and I've had students, you know, like, I'm in my last year and I'm realizing I hate my major.
Oh, yes. And we hear that about this time of year. It's this last semester and they're graduating and they're like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. And it's hard. But, in a perfect world, it would be just take time for yourself, go travel for a while or just get out and really connect with your true self and figure out what passion, what excites you, has deep value to you, and mm-hmm. pursue those interests, you know. But
are you ever going to do workshops, or have you ever done workshops to teach people how to do this?
Yeah, well, you know, at the Eddie House, I do group therapy. I do a lot of group sessions, and we talk a lot about this, and it's really been helpful. You know, I'm getting a lot of great feedback, and I do talks. I do, you know, speak. So
let's take another break, and then when we come back, I'm going to take an email question, if that's okay, and go from there. And then I want to talk some more about the Eddie House. Some specifics and the open heart mindfulness that you mentioned early on. So stay tuned. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and we're talking about the ego versus your true spirit. And my guest is Lynette Eddy. Lynette is a social worker in Nevada, right? You're in Reno.
Right.
Reno, Nevada, and she's written this wonderful book that gives you some ideas, and we just got through talking about she gives presentations and workshops and conducts groups, leads groups about this. But you know, it's a hard thing to work on. It is a hard thing because I think you have to really want it and understand what we just got through talking about and work at it, like you said, daily, just about. And that takes a mature, I think sometimes it takes a mature person, an insightful person, a determined person to do that. But does it mean that you have to have had something tragic happen?
Oh, no, no, no. And it's more like self-reflection. Take some times out for some self-reflection. And, you know, I mean, our busy day, you know, we get dragged along and it's kind of hard to do that. Yes. But what really helps is if you feel like a disturbance, like say someone looks at you funny or something.
Yes.
And then you feel, oh, what did I do? What did I say? And you start going down that rabbit hole and it ruins your day. You're thinking about that all day. Okay. Something like that. That's where you just stop yourself. You start feeling that, oh, you know, insecurity. And then, you know, what you do then is examine that feeling and that thought. Don't try to suppress it, accept it, but just be, where's that coming from? And then if you understand the traps of the ego, it'll be easy to recognize which trap you're falling into. Now, that particular example would be beliefs versus truth. You know, it's like, okay, you're assuming this person is mad at you for something when this person could just have had a fight with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or something,
yeah.
You know, but you're going to let it ruin your whole day. So that's a trap, is beliefs versus truth. So if you feel that, just sit back and say, okay, what makes me think she's giving me, you know, she gave me a dirty, you know, that, and then you can just let it go and just let it go.
Yeah. They internalize. I see a lot. I see students who come in and it's exactly what that example is perfect because something will have happened earlier that week. I think too, it's hard for them to make themselves aware. You know, it's just like becomes such a habit to internalize these things that they're not aware of it. Sometimes that's my role, is to help them become aware. And once they, whatever it is, once they catch it, then they can't ignore it. Then they have to do something about it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. But that's the key, is catch it in the beginning. You'll save yourself a lot of psychological suffering that's not needed.
One of the questions I had for you, and I think this is what we're talking about, how does examining the root cause of our suffering play a role in general mindfulness and in open heart mindfulness?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, just recognizing those traps you're falling into, the egoic patterns, and just let it go. Don't take it serious. You know, and if you think about it, it's like the inner critic, just blah, 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 blah. Yep. You know, then you've got your inner coach. That's the one you want to listen to.
Yes.
But that inner critic, if you can recognize when it shows up with its just, you know,
big mouth,
you know, negative chatter, just like say, hey, homie ain't going there no more.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That sounds easy.
And once you start training your brain to do that, it gets easier. You know, once you start practicing that, it gets easier. The email question, and by the way, if you want to send us questions or if you have a suggestion for upcoming topics for the show, email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. Lynette, someone asked via email, what is your best, I bet you get this question all the time, what is your best advice for supporting someone who has lost a loved one to suicide?
Well, I mean, feel your grief, you know, don't ever stuff your grief, feel it. And, but understand that, you know, I mean, there's survivor's guilt, that's common. And
yes,
you have to recognize that can play into part of your grief process. But, you know, you have to just understand that everyone has their journey or whatever, you know, and then you have to, once it settles, you have to be careful not to fall into, you know, a victim. In my case, you know,
get stuck.
Yeah, and get stuck and just be like, oh, poor me, I don't have that loved one anymore. Yes. And oh, you know, you can't, don't go there. That's an egoic thing too. It wants you to be a victim always.
Did it help you to have a social work degree? Do you think you hadn't gotten the social work degree yet, had you?
Well, I think, no, I had one more year to go and I did finish, but it definitely helped me because that's when I learned a really great coping mechanism. And this pertains to the person that sent the email.
Yes, yes.
I hope this helps. But you know what? When you help others, you get outside of yourself and help others. It's so healing. It's part of the healing process.
Yes. You're not, again, you're not so focused on yourself.
Yeah.
It's the same thing you were talking about. How does open heart mindfulness, how does it apply to college students?
Well, it applies to everyone, but particularly for college students, I would say to really get in touch with your true self. I know it's a time for self-discovery, self-reflection, like who am I? Where am I going? What am I supposed to do with my life?
Yes.
You know, it is. It's a tough time.
Purpose.
Mm-hmm. But if you can just really follow your true self, your true spirit, that will lead you in the right direction. Don't go for the shiny objects. The ego will say, oh, you know, you have to make a ton of money to be happy in this world. No, you know, a lot of times that never ends well.
I know. And I see students a lot of times who are majoring in, you know, career majors because other people want them to, whether it's their parents or society, and they're just very unhappy.
Yeah. In fact, I have in the book, there's a study, a woman, Bonnie Ware, she was a hospice nurse and she wrote a book, she surveyed hundreds of dying patients in what they would say their biggest regret was. Number one was they wished they had lived a life they wanted to live, not one that others expected them to live. Yeah. So hopefully when you're in college, you learn that lesson, you know.
I'm going to be telling them that every time they come in here. On your website that I mentioned, which is, give your website out. Is it just Lynette Eddy or is it the eddyhouse.org?
No, it's lynetteeddy.com.
Yes.
So lynetteeddy.com.
Mm-hmm. On your website, you offer a download of a free open heart mindfulness toolbox. So tell the listeners what's in the toolbox and how can individuals use that?
Well, I just give different examples of way we can live our life authentically and live through our spirit. And some of the tools are, you know, help others, like I just mentioned, be intentional about, like, you know, like I was saying, like the things you're doing, the people you're associating with, that kind of thing, and live simply, you know, like we don't need a lot of possessions. And, you know, there are studies, happiest people are people that live simply, you know. But the other thing is try to make really good connections with others, you know, like authentic relationships, you know, that's important. Yeah. Because I know we, at times we feel alone and that's just, you know, the human, whatever, but I'll tell you, the ego wants you to feel alone. It wants you to feel separate from others. And the spirit kind of feels like we're all the same, you know, and, you know, like we all have the same wants, needs, and everything else. So, you know,
one of the questions I skipped over, and I don't think we've answered this directly, but how do we work to examine the root cause of our suffering or help our clients to examine the root cause of their suffering?
Well, like I mentioned earlier about, you know, those those wounds we have that are buried deep in our psyche. So, you know, and that's a really tough one because it's not fun, but it's a beast. I mean, it's, you know, and if you are really uncomfortable trying to get through it on your own through like journaling or, you know, just taking time for yourself, reflecting and going deep into those wounds and feeling those feelings, you know, those things that happened from your past and just really kind of peel the onion. But if it's really uncomfortable, see a professional, you know, and they can help you through that, you know, because sometimes it can be very overwhelming.
And but, sometimes it can be dangerous.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, if it just festers in there like a wound, it's never going to be healed.
Never, and you're going to be better. That's right.
Yeah.
No matter what your age is.
No.
Talk about the Eddie House. How long has it been in existence? How did you start it? How difficult was it? And how are you still involved now?
Well, that's the way I wrote the book was, you know, what we were just talking about. But then I go off in the book on my journey creating Eddie House and what it's become. But throughout my journey doing that, I battled my ego and my spirit. I mean, I had a lot of times where I had self-doubt, like you're not smart enough to do this and all that. But I let my spirit keep me on the right path through the whole journey. And I am so glad I listened to my spirit. And because it was when I was interning, I realized that the fastest growing segment of the homeless population were the youth in Reno, and there were no services there. You know, they were.
What's the age range when you say what's the age range?
Yeah, we help 18 to 24, okay. You know. Yeah. So, you know, I did a lot of things they teach you in social work. I had a focus group. I just figured out like what the needs were. I did an inventory on services and all that. I slept out on the streets with nothing but my backpack. A sleeping bag. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Sleeping bag and a backpack. And I slept out on the streets for a few nights just to see what these kids go through. And I was horrified. It was terrible. Yeah. It was terrifying. So then I just did it. I just rounded up a group of my social work friends and we just figured it out, got the 501c3 and, you know, made it happen. And
how many youths can you have at one time?
Oh, well, we have a full service drop-in center, overnight shelter, and then we have what we call a community living program. And these are kids that, you know, we have full case management, clinical services, but in our whole program, we have every supportive service you can imagine all under one roof at Eddie House. And it's from getting haircuts to resume writing to, you know, getting your GED. It's everything. So it's been so successful. And we've had, you know, thousands of kids come through and tons of blood. We actually had the, HUD from Washington came out and they designated us as a national model because they were so impressed because we do a lot of data collection and that kind of thing.
And I bet you do a lot of consulting too with other people across the country, maybe even the world who are trying to start something like Eddie House.
Yeah, because it works. You know, it's like you have to have all your supportive services under one roof and they have to have a place to sleep that's safe. I mean, it's just basic common sense, you know, like you have
how
to have
long, your what, met. What year did you start Eddie House? How long has it been in existence?
Well, it was the 2 months after I graduated, I jumped in. So it's been 10 years, 11 years now. So I was like, and that was a part of my healing. I wanted to help make something positive out of that tragedy.
You've made a legacy for yourself, really.
I kind of was doing it for my late husband, a legacy for him.
Yeah.
But it's It's just turned out to be wonderful.
Is there a limit of how many students, how many youths, sorry, I'm talking university talk here. Is there a limit of how many youths who can be serviced at one time or be housed at one time?
No, we take everyone. You know, we never turn anyone away. You know, yeah. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but we are full. You know, but we don't turn
all the time, away. Probably. Yeah,
we find room. And but it's so needed, you know. Yeah.
Well, let's take our last break. And when we come back, Lynette, I want you to talk about resources for listeners. Some more resources in case people are interested, not only in your book, but other resources that you can think of. So stay tuned and come back and listen. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking about, really, we started talking about the ego versus the true spirit and winning the battle between those two. Lynette Eddy is a social worker, but also, I mean, a social activist. I mean, we just got through talking about the Eddy House, which is, you know, a homeless shelter for youth. And is it just your area, Nevada, or is it, what's the catchment area for the house?
It's all northern Nevada.
Wow.
Yeah. And we are going to, we hopefully will, you know, go down to Las Vegas area. Ooh. It's like Nevada.
You're going to have to get another house.
That's it.
You're going to have to get a bigger space, I'm sure. Talk about some of the resources, though, for, I mean, your book, when was your book released?
Oh, just 3 months ago.
Just recently.
2.5 months ago.
So your book is a great place to start, but give us some more. Are there any podcasts? Are there any other books? Are there any, you know, anything you can think of, any other radio shows even that you could think of that would help people? How did you research this? What did you use for your resources?
Yeah, well, I just mainly researched the ego. That was a big one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just trying to think, you know, I didn't really listen to many podcasts. You know, I kind of wrote from my heart. I learned, it was from learned experience
too,
that
yeah.
I witnessed, definitely. You know, and of course what I learned in my classwork, you know. But as far as resources, I would say practical resources other than, you know, publications or whatever, practices that would be really great. Learn to journal. You know, like,
yes.
just like get yourself a blank journal and just take time every night, you know, or whatever. Write down how your day went and write down those traps that you could see yourself fall into that day. And that really helps. It is something about when you put it all out on paper, it brings clarity a lot of times, because, you know, you get a lot of times you get murky, you know, just so much is going on. So if you get in the practice of journaling and also meditating a little bit, slow the mind down. You know, we have so many ADHD or, you know, just monkey mind. And that, yeah, if you can just take some deep breaths and slow your mind down, and then that's when you can really it's easier to witness your thoughts when you can just slow down.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like a runaway train and you're just like, ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, I call it like the Tasmanian devil sometimes when students come in here and they're just like, you know, their minds are all over the place. And it's really kind of hard to get them used to being still and just being okay with their own thoughts, you know? It does take practice.
Right. And another resource would be to try to get out in nature.
Yes.
That always kind of grounds you, brings you into your spirit.
It does sound simple. It sounds simple. And sometimes they look at me when I tell them that, you know, I'm like, I know this is common to say this, especially for a counselor or a therapist to say this, but exercise, it's the basic things. Exercise, diet, sleep, it's the basic stuff that you need. It works. That's why people say it over and over again. And yes, getting out in nature, I mean, we have so many students who just, they don't really leave their rooms sometimes, you know, or they go to the bars or they, you know, they just... I don't know. They're studying so much. They're perfectionists a lot of times, and they're missing out on a lot of life.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that perfection, that's an ego trap. You know, it's the one that tells you you have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being imperfect. Mm-mm. Truth is, we're all imperfect humans.
That's where it gets fun. Yeah, that's where it gets fun. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, give yourself some slack, you know, have a little self-compassion.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for being on the show. It goes by fast, you know. I didn't really know, you know, how this would go because I hadn't had this topic yet, and it's wonderful. Thank you so much. It's great. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing. It must be very fulfilling, you know, to see the benefits of your labor, of your hard work, and to see those kids who have left and hopefully succeeded and maybe come back and thanked you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on. And I really appreciate what you do. And I hope it was helpful. Anything I said, I hope something was helpful to someone.
I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be. This is great. And try to find, is your book for sale on Amazon, the normal places? Can you find it in any bookstore?
Right. It's on Amazon, The Fight Inside, and it's in paperback, hardcover, Kindle, and we just put it out on Audible. So it's in all those formats.
Were you the narrator? I'm curious.
No.
I couldn't. The author is the narrator, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thanks again. And don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted to the Apple Podcast and also on audioboom.com and voices.ua.edu. You can just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on our Counseling Center's website at counseling.ua.edu. And as always, I like to thank a few people who've made the show possible. Our executive director here at the Counseling Center, Dr. Greg Vanderwall, my production assistant, and my colleague, Catherine Howell, my other colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff who edit our show every week, and of course my guest tonight, Lynette Eddy. Join us next week for another show. The topic's going to be, this is going to be a very interesting, treatment for borderline personality disorder. So I'm excited about that. I don't think we've done that topic in a while, if ever, when I think about it. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you here next week. Good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.